This is a story of where it says here that David and his men were come to Ziklag, and on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives there were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men came back and saw the place burn with fire, and they wept, and so forth and so on. Well, David encouraged himself in the Lord, and I want to come all the way down in verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Praise God. Praise God. You know, I think the enemy has run off with something that most of us have at one time or another. And he's going to have to give it up, because we're after him. And the thing that I see that we have to do first is we have to get the word of God for it, because that's the first thing he had to do. He had to go before God and get God's word on it. And so the same thing about going after your health. The enemy might have run off with it, because the Bible, God wants you healed. He wants you in perfect health. And so we have to get the word on it so we can pursue, overtake, and recover all. Praise God. Amen. Now tonight I want to talk about be made whole. Be made whole. It says over in Joel, I won't turn there, Joel chapter 2, he says, "I'll restore to you the years that the cankerworm has eaten, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, that great army which I allowed to come upon you, and you you shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of your God, your Lord, the Lord your God, that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." Say, "I'm not ashamed." All right, so now what is happening here is we want to go through some scriptures here that validate God's plan and God's will and way for our healing. And that even if it's not us that needs healing, we can minister this to somebody else, because we're the church. We're the distribution center that has been sent into the world so that people can be made whole and people can live a full life again. Now, Jesus came, and of course, he is our sample son. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah, the anointed one. But he is also showing us how we are to operate in this earth as well. And it's several places that I want you to turn here and see this idea about Jesus healing. Let's go first to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. And I'm just doing these in random because, of course, you can go so many ways with healing. But Matthew chapter 9, and look here at verse 22. He says here, and I'll start at verse 20. "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.' But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole.' And the woman was made what? Whole from what? That hour." All right? Now, Jesus kept in this attitude of ministry. Let's go to another one. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 12, since we're in Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 12. In verse 10, "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?' That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, 'What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And then said he unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was what? Restored whole, like as the other. So another time that Jesus is ministering here, and somebody is made whole. Let's go to another place here. Let's go to Luke chapter 8, please. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Let's go all the way down to verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, only believe, and she shall be made what? Whole. And when he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Now they were just weeping a minute ago. And when he said that, they began to laugh at him, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. So here is Jesus. He is recovering people. And in this particular case, he put forth his hand and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And she came out of a death state. Let's go to another one. Let's go to all the way back again to Matthew chapter 14. Let's go back there. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Let me know when you get to Matthew 14 by saying, praise the Lord. Verse 34, all the way down to the end. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as what? Touched were what? Made what? Perfectly whole. Wow. Isn't that powerful? Now, this is something I want you to get a hold of here, because there's something happening here that's deeper than the natural physical senses. And I have something that I wrote down here. Healing is spiritual as well as physical. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8. Over in Matthew chapter 8, he says here in verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be what? Shall be healed. For I am a man where? Under authority, having soldiers where? Under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, And as thou hast what? Believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed when? That self same hour. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus go to the house? Now, what did he do? He spoke the word. Now, what I'm saying is this whole idea about spiritual, that healing, the root of healing is spiritual. And that when you are in the church, you can deal with the root of things. You don't have to be dealing with it on the level of the leaves. You can go all the way down to the root. And when you have dealt with the root, because the natural things that you can see are controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit, something that you can't see. Y'all gonna get this tonight. All right, now, I'm getting you set up for something here, because I want you to see this now. He said, just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, I told you, the things Jesus said, the things that I do shall you do also. Just speak the word only. I don't need to come. I can just speak the word. I can send the word, and the word will heal him. Am I right about it? This is what he's saying here. Now, I'm just saying that there's a spiritual component to this that I think a lot of times that revelation has escaped the church, and the church is left trying to deal with things carnally, left trying to deal with things on the level of the problem instead of going up and dealing with it on the level of the spirit. And so you and I can do that. Let's go back to Psalm, please, Psalm chapter 107 and verse 20. Psalm 107 and verse 20. Verse 20. Let me know when you get there. Psalm 107, verse 20. Look what it says here in verse 20. He sent his word, keep going, and healed them and what? Delivered them from their destructions. So he sent his word and his word healed them. Glory to God. Do you know you're going to have some kind of malady or something? And just take the word. Let's say you take a scripture for healing. Let's say you take Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Why don't you put that up on the board, please? Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Let's say you take that first. All right? He says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, keep going, we are healed. Now let's say you take that scripture, and you take that scripture and use that scripture as the word for your healing. Now as you use that scripture now is changing things first in the unseen realm. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 24. Now I'm saying that because of this. When you put the scripture in, virtue comes with the scripture. See, the virtue comes with the scripture. In other words, you could be suffering something and something be going on in your life or, excuse me, going on in your household, whatever have you. And then you take these scriptures and you start putting those scriptures in, and you start putting them in, the power comes with the scripture. Yes, sir. The virtue comes with the scripture. Yes. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, over in 1 Peter, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So you were healed. So as far as God is concerned, Jesus took your sicknesses, took your diseases on the cross at Calvary, and took all of them, everything that Satan would try to throw at humanity, Jesus bore it, so that you could legally be healed. you could legally be healed. Now, in there, well, I shouldn't have gone back. Can you go back again to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, please? All right, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, sicknesses and diseases are grief, and pain and sorrow and affliction are under this word sorrow. So he also bore your pain. Now, really, this is one of the areas right now that is in serious need in the church. We have to again be taught again how to trust God's word. Really, because, you know, there is, let me say something. When the 12 spies came back to spy out the land of Canaan, 10 of them had an evil report. What did they say? They said there are giants in the land. They said the walls are high, can't get over them. In other words, let's not go over there because they will slaughter us. Two of them said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, one report was humanly logical. That you see an impossible situation out there, you're not going to go in. I mean, why should I go in? I'm talking about the person who doesn't have Christ. Now, I'm not talking about you as a believer now. I'm talking about normally. We talk about how bad it is. But notice the other two gave words and spoke words that didn't make sense. In other words, they spoke something that the natural mind had been programmed to feel that it was ridiculous. Don't believe that. Now, the problem with that is most of the gospel is like that. Most of the gospel is like that. Most of the gospel is in a place where you and I in the world had been programmed not to believe. Don't believe that. See, that God never intended for his people to have to go anywhere except to him for healing. Now, let me show you this. Go with me all the way back to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. All right, Exodus chapter 5. All right, look at verse 26. Put 26 up there, please. And afterward, there's no 15, 23. Yeah, Exodus 15 and verse 26. Now, what did I say at first?
Five.
Exodus what?
Five.
I said five? Oh, pardon me. I meant 15. All right. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that what?
Healing.
That healeth thee. Now, it makes it seem like God is putting disease on somebody. But it says in the literal, I will allow none of these that I allow to come upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. In other words, I am Jehovah, your physician.
Yes.
Understand what he was doing now. He was training his people to see him as their healer, not some of the sorcerers of Egypt. It's very important now, because what the enemy has done is tried to pull the church away from trusting in God. Now, I'm not, this is not a condemnation message. This is a message to just try to bring your, bring back the revelation of who is responsible for your health. Listen, that was not just a statement up there. Put it back up there again. That was just not a statement up there. That was God obligating himself that if you ever get sick, I will heal you. That is a covenant statement. That is a covenant statement. When he made covenant with Abraham, he said to him, one of the key things he said, oh, Lord Jesus, can I show you this? I'm kind of off now, but I think I'm on. Let's go to Genesis. Look at Genesis and chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Now, I'm only saying, because we've kind of gotten away from this, and we got away from, notice we got away from the miracles, we got away from the supernatural, and so forth, because the enemy is trying to bring us down to the level of a natural person. Say amen to that. All right. Look what it says here in, what did I tell you, Jordan? Genesis chapter 15. So, okay, all right, praise God. Genesis chapter 7. Boy, y'all ready to go tonight. Here, hey. All right, okay, I'm going to read starting from verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Underline that. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, okay? And I will make my covenant between me and thee. Understand, I will make my covenant between me and thee. And will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. Now, who is saying this? God is saying this. So who is going to bring this to pass? God is going to bring this to pass. And kings shall come out of thee. I'm one of those. And I will establish my covenant. Watch this. Between me and thee and thy seed after thee in what? Their generations. We are one of the generations, and we're the seed of Abraham. For an everlasting covenant. Watch this. To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. I'm going to be their bread provider. I'm going to be their healer. I'm going to be their joy. I'm going to be their peace. I'm going to be their victory. I'm going to be everything there is. I will be that. In other words, you're not going to have to go to world for nothing. I'm going to be all you need. I'm the Alpha, the Omega. I'm everything that you'll ever need in this life. I've got it. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. Got it? Now, the interesting thing, he said, I'm making a covenant. Now, what is a covenant? Now, the covenant, the literal Hebrew means to cut. It means where blood flows. But this whole idea of the covenant, it was made between Abram and God, where God used a heifer or three heifers or sheep or whatever, goats, and then a pigeon, and he used that as his substitute. Got it? And Abram ended up circumcising himself, because both people have to shed blood.
That's right.
Both entities. And so they shed blood, and in the time that, no, I don't want to go there. They shed blood, and the idea about it is to mingle the blood. Now, in this particular case, when the blood was shed of those animals, then God walked in a figure eight through it. But before he came and walked through it as a burning lamp, he put Abram to sleep. And then Abram woke up and saw the evidence of that. Now, that's repeated, that's spoken about over in the book of Psalms. I have a scripture up there talking about he walked as a furnace. Now, the idea about that is God was making covenant with a man. And the reason why he's making covenant with him is because God has to have an entryway back into the earth. See? See? Now, covenant makes God and Abram one. So he changed his name.
That's right.
So the woman takes on the man's last name because they're now coming into covenant and they're no longer two. Come on. They're now one. Got it? And a covenant says, whatever's yours is mine, and whatever is mine is yours. That's why it was pointed out during the missions conference that Jesus does not know when he's coming back.
That's right.
That the Father wouldn't tell him. And the reason why the Father won't tell him is because you and Jesus are one. He won't tell it because you have access to everything Jesus has and is. Lord, have mercy. You, when you look at your life, let me get my paperwork out here. You have his ability. That's part of your inheritance. That's part of your covenant relationship. You have his righteousness. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When God looks at you, he does not see you with your own righteousness. He sees you with the righteousness of God. You have his wisdom. It's yours. You have his strength. It's yours. You have his health. It's yours. You have his success. It's yours. You have his ability. It's yours. Whatever ability Jesus has, you have it. That's why he won't tell it. Let me see. I think I wrote something down here. Just a minute. Let me just bear with me for just a moment here. Turn to Luke's gospel and Luke chapter 15, please. Luke chapter 15. Wait a minute. Matthew chapter 24. Pardon me. Matthew chapter 24. I want you to see this now, because this helps you to believe for your healing. Look what it says in verse 36, Matthew 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth what? No man. No, not the angels in heaven, but my what? Father only. Won't tell Jesus, because you can get at it. You can get at it. So you're one with him. You're one. You are one. You are one with him. And what happened was God bound himself to Israel, made himself one with them. And the smallest village in Israel, no big army could defeat them. None. I don't care what you're up against. The biggest obstacle that you're up against, no enemy can defeat you. Folks, you need to study covenant because that's the foundation of faith. Let me see, can I, because I think somebody needs some help in that area. The tell you what, give me my notebook, my ring notebook out of my bag right there. Thank you. Let me just see if I can give you some, see if I can help you. There were, as long as Israel kept the covenant with God, there weren't enemies enough in the whole world to conquer one little village of Israelis. God placed himself in bondage to that covenant, meaning that he was bound. That's the binding of Isaac. And God and Israel were bound together, and as long as they were, there was no sick people among Israel. Now, when they got sick is when they start talking against God and the snakes start biting them. Turn over there to Numbers, if you will. Let me know when you get there. Numbers, oh, I didn't tell you where to go, did I? Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Let me know when you get there. All right, now this is when Israel was rebelling against God and so forth. Look at verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses and so forth and so on. Why has he brought us out here? Verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel, what? Died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have what? Sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall do what? Live. And Moses made a serpent of what? Brass. Brass is symbolic of divine judgment. And put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he what? He lived. Okay? So I'm saying here that look how spiritual this healing is. And look how nobody touched them. It's just when they looked at the pole, all of a sudden they got whole. And I'm saying to you there, if the church comes on up and start dealing with sickness and disease in the spirit first, we'll see more results and we'll see things that will astound people. Say amen to that. So God was obligated to shield Israel from the armies and the nations that surrounded them. God was under obligation to see it that their land brought forth crops. He was under obligation by the covenant to see that their herds and flocks multiplied. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jehovah was their only physician. He was their provider, their protector, their promoter, their enabler, their empower. He was not only their physician, but he was their succor. He was always coming to the aid when they needed protection. And there was never a barren woman. No babies died. No young men died. Women, even women. Well, I don't know what I was saying there, but But as long as they kept the covenant, there was not one army or armies enough in the world to conquer one little group of the people of God. In battle, no soldiers were slain. They were under a blood covenant. And Moses led them out to a barren desert, and it was compared to the Mojave Desert. If you know anything about that, that's hot and dry, and there is nothing. But God provided everything. He provided water for their cattle. He provided everything and so forth. And when they came through the Red Sea, a miracle took place that still staggered the world. So I'm here to tell you right now that this covenant that they were under was a blood covenant, that God was their physician, and God is still the physician of his people. Say amen to that. And when Jesus came, he came to restore to us the years that the cankerworm has eaten, to take us back to where anything that's wrong with us, God can heal it. And let me tell you, folks, if it can't be healed, he'll just replace the whole part. Praise God. Now you can't, you got to receive this by faith. Say amen to that. Lord have mercy. Okay, I won't settle down there. Okay, so you with me so far? All right, so let's talk about the methods of healing. The methods of healing. Let's go to John chapter 14, please. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this for all of us, that the church in general has gotten away from these kinds of things of believing God, because one, it wasn't taught, of course, but then it starts, we go on and it's like tradition. It's like, you know, water baptism, like anything else, you know, we're just doing it and so forth, but we don't know why we're doing it, but we just do it because that's what we do. You know what I mean? Really? I mean, communion should be a time of healing.
That's right.
But we do it just because that's what we do. And because of we have no faith in it, then there's no anointing release to straighten up whatever part that's broke. Say amen to that. Faith is the anointing connector. And unless that faith is released, then the anointing is not released to do the job that must be done. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, let me just show you that, because I think I need to show you. Praise God. Turn to, what did I tell you? Turn right there.
John 14.
John 14. Okay, put something right there. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. Now, remember what he said, put that serpent on a pole. Let me ask you, what profession do you see a serpent on a pole? A doctor's office. You see it, sure, because it's where it was taken from. And covenant. Where do you have the evidence that God first made a covenant? Now, it's where blood flows. So where do you have evidence that God first made a covenant with his people, with some people in the earth? You remember? Genesis where? How about back in the garden? When Adam and Eve sinned, what did God use to cover them? He used animal skin. He got it off an animal. That's why these people, when you wear fur coats and they come down on you and so forth, just take them back to Genesis. Just show them that. But anyway, so now wait a minute. So Noah next. Noah, all right? So God cut a covenant with Noah. What did God put in the sky as, and that token symbolized that God would never again destroy this thing through flood? So he put this rainbow in the sky, and every time they saw that, they remembered the covenant. Got what I'm saying? All right, how about Abraham? What did he use for that covenant with Abraham as a token? Token means something that's visible, that you can see, that's an indication of the covenant.
Circumcision,
all right, use circumcision, all right. But when Jesus was on the cross, where was the covenant cut? at that point. Okay? In his side, right? Came out blood and water. So the covenant was cut, see? And each time, remember what the prophet John said? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So he had the ultimate for that lamb is to be sacrificed, see, because blood had to flow. All right? How about a married couple? What do they use sometimes as a token of the covenant relationship between them? They use rings. They go out and you know, a guy who want to play around, he tried to take his ring, put it in his pocket. I'm telling on him now. And put it in his pocket and so forth because he's about to play. And so forth. Well, he doesn't want to see, let him see he's in covenant with somebody else. Okay? Same thing about a woman and a man coming together. It was meant that they come together for the first time, and a woman has something in her called a hymen, and that hymen is broken. When that hymen is broken, blood flows. And it meant that that covenant was just cut between those two. And that's why he said a covenant is forever. You got what I'm saying? So it was never meant that we do things with folks that we didn't plan to stay with. That's all I'm going to say about that. You just get it. Now, I'm only saying that if you go back to Africa or go back to some of the Indians, you'll see, I used to love cowboy and Indian movies, but they used to cut a covenant. And they would, they would say something. The expression was, the white man speaks with forked tongue. Now, what does forked tongue mean? Okay, wait a minute. A snake has a forked tongue. See, a forked tongue. That he's speaking like a snake. See, that's what he's talking about, because that snake lied to Eve. Are you following what I'm saying? And so they said, let's cut a covenant, because they knew a covenant would bring you into a blood relationship. Now, once that blood relationship was established, what it said really is, whatever you have is mine if I need it. And whatever I have is yours if you need it. Say amen to that. And in marriages today, you know, you have, you know, what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine. You know, but that's where we're going to have to work on that a little bit. Say, praise the Lord. And but no, that's what it says. See, and that's why when we have communion, your brothers and sisters love one another. Yes. See, somebody sees another one had need, they come and minister to them. Right. Say amen to that. Yes. And so forth. And so this whole covenant thing has kind of slipped, because you go back to Africa again, you can go way back there, and you'll see back there, they have never had any of this teaching, none of that. But the covenant is there. It is there. That's what's got those tribes fighting or so tight today, is because the covenant was cut, and they're in covenant with some other tribe and so forth. And we're breaking in there, and we're making them get born again and making them be a part of a higher covenant. You follow what I'm saying? And their brothers and sisters will be all over the world. And so forth. So, but back in those tribal, I'm telling you, they can catch this. They can catch it because they know covenant. They know covenant, and they're not wishy-washy with it. You know, I like you today if you're acting right, and so forth. That's not covenant. That's not covenant. God obligated himself. Every time Israel cried to God and reminded him of his covenant, he came in. They came in, and that's what he said. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth." He said, "I'll never leave you, nor forsake." That is covenant talk. And that's why Abraham had to change his name, because he had to take on God's last name. That last name, of course, of God, they didn't pronounce. It was just a breath. And that's why he took the name Abraham. Abraham. And he took on God's last name. He and God became one in that. He called Abraham his friend. Okay. Where did I tell you?
Luke 17.
Luke 17. Okay, I'm almost done. Luke 17. All right, Luke 17, this is where you had 10 lepers. Or is it 2 lepers, somebody? Let me see how many lepers it was. Okay. Yeah, okay. It was 10. Verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, keep going, they were cleansed. Now, what was wrong with him telling them to go show themselves to the priest? Okay? You're supposed to show yourself to the priest when you have evidence of cleansing. When that leprosy, some what had happened, starts lifting off of you, then you go show yourself to the priest. The priest has to do a ceremony and so forth and so on and pronounce you clean, and you can come back into the regular camp. But in this case, they weren't. There was no natural evidence. But in this case, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, come on, not seen. So as they had the word and believed and acted on what they believed, the anointing took off. And that anointing removed burdens and destroyed every yoke, and they were healed, cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. He fell down on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to them, him, arise and go your way. Thy what has made you whole? Thy faith has made you whole. Notice what he didn't say, God's power. The anointing is God's power. But he didn't say God's power made you whole. Because faith is an anointing connector. It connects you with God's power. It releases God's power on your behalf. If God let his power loose in here without you having faith, it'll tear some of this place up. It'll just... So he made it like electricity. For you to get this iron to work, you're going to have to take the plug and do what? Plug it in. So all you have to do is plug your faith in and the power will flow. Come on now, plug your faith in and the power will flow. Now, how does faith come? And hearing what?
The word of God.
So they had faith and they cried out for their faith because their faith was there and they cried out. He said, okay, what you have to do now is act on what you believe. And as they went, praise God, they were healed. Now, how did he know everybody got healed? By faith. By faith. When I pray for you, I'm going to believe by faith you got healed. See, I'm not going to doubt because you didn't jump around, cry, fall on the ground, kick over the church benches. I'm not going to get my faith off the line because you didn't act right. I'm going to lay hands on you in Jesus' name and hit you on your big head and believe God that you got healed. No, I didn't mean it like that. Okay. Are y'all with me? Say amen to this.
Amen.
Folks, where we have stopped is this place right here. We have stopped where we're still looking for a feeling before we'll totally believe that God did something. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And that's what Brother Hagin taught on for years. They tell me you could go to his class, and let's say you had 16 weeks for him to teach you, and he would go every day, turn to Mark 11, 23 and 24. Turn to Mark 11, 23 and 24. Every day, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, just believe you receive them, and you shall have them. All right. Five ways that you get healing, that healing is talked about in the scriptures. The first is John chapter 14, a method of healing. And this method of healing is for you to use the word of God. John chapter 14, and in John chapter 14, he says this, glory to God, in verse 13 and 14, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified where? In the Son. If you shall ask, come on, anything in my name, I will do it. Now that word ask there is the Hebrew, it's a Greek word, demand. Whatever you demand in my name, that's not talking about the ask That is over in John chapter 16 and verse 23. This is ask, meaning demand. Now, how do I demand something? I'm not demanding of God. God has already done it. So I'm demanding something. And when you had in Acts chapter 3, there was a man who was crippled and sat at the gate beautiful every day. And Peter and John, fastening their eyes on this man, they gave heed. He gave heed to them, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And when you do that, Jesus said, "Whatever you demand in my name," keep going, "I will do it." Say amen to that. Amen. All right. So now you're not demanding of the Father, because the Father has given you the authority over demons, over sickness, over disease, everything. So you demand that disease to leave that man's body. So you got pain in your body, pain, you must go. In the name of Jesus. Now remember, you over pain. Pain is under you. You have authority over pain. You have authority over over anything in your body. As a matter of fact, say amen to that. Now, you got to remember that all sickness is rooted in the devil. So I know that you can get out of line with things of God and get yourself in a place where you get sickness. But it's interesting what you can do with that. Let's go over to the Epistle of James, and James chapter 5, please. James chapter 5. This is very important here. We're talking about five ways you can get healed. I said five ways you can get healed. Now, God wants you whole, doesn't he? He wants to recover everything that was lost. Say amen to that. And don't think just because you got something in your body that you can't get hold, if you got a pacemaker or something like that. Listen, God can remove the pacemaker while you sleep at night. I'm just saying. All right. Look what it says in verse 14. He says, "In any among you is any sick among you, let him call for the who of the church, elders of the church, and let them pray over him," doing what now? "Anointing him with oil in the what? Name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick." That word "save" comes from the Greek word "sozo," means heal, deliver the sick. "And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed" what? "Sins," keep going, "they shall be forgiven him." Isn't that wonderful? All right, so that's the second way of getting healed, with anointing oil. Let's go to another. Mark chapter 16, please. Mark chapter 16. Very quickly, I'm out of time. Glory to God. Mark 16. All right, Mark chapter 16, look what it says, come all the way back to verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is what? Baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name," underline that, "shall they do what? Cast out devils. They shall do what else? Speak with new tongues. They shall take up what? Serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not what? Hurt them. They shall what? Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, you have power in you. If you're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got a dynamo inside of you. Got it? Now, when you lay hands on the sick in obedience to God, then what happens is, in Jesus' name, the power that is within you can flow into them. Now, a lot of times we work in this in church, but this really works out with the unsaved. It really is. He's talking about go ye into all the world. You know, he didn't say go ye into all the church. It's go ye into all the world. And they can really feel the power. I remember I was down in the Philippines, down in Mindanao, in the Philippines. And I remember we got people saved, and then I was demonstrating to the people. I said, now let me get you filled with the Holy Ghost. Then filled with the Holy Ghost. So they were up there, got them filled with the Holy Ghost. Then I said, okay, now just as quickly as she got saved and got the Holy Ghost, now she can get the sick healed. I said, now let me get somebody from the audience who's got a problem. The lady had a back problem and so forth. She came up. She stood right there. I said, okay, with the person that was just got born again. I said, now take your hand and just put it right on her head. He put it on her head. He put it on the lady's head. The lady then fell out. And the lady who put it, whose hand was put on the head, oh, she got afraid. Okay, my point to you is, she didn't know that kind of power was going through her. See, she, I know sometimes we do things. Ah! See, we do all of that, and that's not necessary. Can I help you? That is not necessary. Making all them faces and all that kind of stuff. Don't do that. You're scaring somebody off with all them faces. And, but... You just lay your hands on them, and folks, it can be done at work. Somebody have a migraine headache or something like that, say, hey, you mind if I pray with you and so forth? You just go over there and lay hands on sick. Don't be trying to work something up. You don't have to feel anything. Well, Pastor, I don't know now. I just got done eating. I don't know whether I can do that without. That doesn't make any difference. It's not you that's doing this. I said it's not you that's doing this. It is spiritual. It's the Holy Ghost. Say amen to this. Now, whenever you call the name of Jesus, it is exactly like he is on the scene. Whenever you call his name, it is exactly like he's on the scene. That is basically the way that you conduct business of what we used to call you sign something for somebody who's not in town. Not cosign, but power of attorney. That is your power of attorney. That is your right, because you're part of his body now. And he's turned the authority of healing the sick over to you. Amen. Got it? Amen. All right. Let me just show you this. Now, that's the third one. Is that the third one? Yes. All right. And then the next one, the fourth one, is found in number... where did this come from? John chapter 16, please. John 16. I didn't write my scripture. I don't know why I didn't do that. John chapter 16. But I know it. That's what my wife tells me sometimes. She says, sweetheart, it's already in you. I want to say hallelujah. You know, I think some of that stuff blocks the power instead of releasing the power. You know. Okay. Look what it says here in John chapter 16 and verse 23. Have you got it? And then they ask you, did you feel that? And you say, feel what? Okay, look what it said in verse 23. See, you're getting healed right now. A merry heart does good like a medicine. You can laugh yourself into healing. I said, you can laugh yourself into healing. Now, super religious people don't like to laugh in church, boy. With their broke self. All right, look what it said in verse 23. Verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall what? Ask the Father in my name, what'll he do? He'll give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your what? Joy may be full. So the Father guarantees you that if you ask Him, He will hear you and He will answer you. So if you don't know how to do anything else, ask the Father, please, Lord, for healing in Jesus' name. Last one, Matthew chapter 18, please. Y'all getting some out of this tonight? Matthew chapter 18, praise God. God wants you well. I said, God wants you well. He desires for you to be well. You have a right to be free from pain and sickness. I said, you have a right to be free from pain and sickness. And those demon forces will try to convince you you have no right, or it can't leave, or you can't be free from that pain. Don't ever believe that. This lady was pulling, I've got a lot of stories. Look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall what? Bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of our Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together, what? In my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, the other last thing is you can write these scriptures down. Mark chapter 1, verse 28. Mark chapter 1, verse 31. Mark chapter 1, verse 42. So 28, 31. Okay, all right. Well, come on, come on. Mark chapter 1, verse 28, verse 31, verse 42. I want to show you those because he's saying in each one of those, immediately they were made whole. Immediately they were made whole. We're looking for the immediate healing. We're looking for the suddenly. Now, if something doesn't happen just then, we won't back off of it. We're going to still believe God. But one of the evidences that he likes to show you is an immediate miracle taking place in your life. All right? Did you get something out of that? Okay. All right. Now, okay, now, two things. First, I want to call for people to get born again. So if you're here and you're not born again, I want to get you first, get you born again. Now, here's what I want to tell you. It's the best decision that you can make tonight because God has a plan for your life, and certainly you would like to get into that plan because it's a good plan. But you can't do it unless you get to know God. You got to come back to Him because He's the one that knew you before you ever entered into your mother's womb. He's the one that has set the plan for you. And so we want to get into that plan. Second thing you want to do is you want to get rid of sin. You want to get your burden of sin and things that you've done wrong. You want to get them behind. You want to get them out of your life. So those things go into a sea of forgetfulness that are never mentioned again. These things are erased from God's books and you can go free. The third thing, of course, is that you come into a great inheritance. God has a lot of things for you, blessings upon blessings, and you can come into those that inheritance. So if you're here right now and God is speaking to your heart, and you say, Pastor Winston, that's me. I'm not born again, but I'd like to be. I want to join the family of God. I want to come into this place of covenant with God, that God and I become one, that I can really operate in a way that you were talking about earlier. Pastor Winston, I just want a brand new start. I'm tired of where I'm going, and I want to start over again. So if that's you, whichever decision, whichever reason for the decision, I want to pray with you right now. If you'd like me to do that, here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me at the altar. Let me pray with you.